It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us next hour when we talk with a presidential historian about the impeachment inquiry and what this means for this moment in political history. That is after 8. But first, greenhouse gas emissions from commercial flights are growing at a faster pace than scientists predicted. And a UN committee has agreed on a handful of resolutions to put up for a vote this week as the aviation industry is undergoing increased scrutiny for its impact on global warming. Are you traveling less by plane due to carbon emissions? Did you fly more in the past? Have you ever bought a carbon offset? We're at 800-642-1234. Eric Carlson is co-founder and president of the CarbonFund.org Foundation. It supports the reduction of carbon dioxide emissions through third-party renewable energy, through energy efficiency, reforestation projects around the world. Eric, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So how much does air travel affect our environment?
So air travel overall makes up about 2.5%, maybe 3% of global carbon emissions. So it's not a huge number, but it is growing globally, especially as countries like China and others increase their travel exponentially over the last 20 years, and they're projected to do it even more. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem, and it's also a difficult one, as you can imagine, to deal with. You have large-scale problems on the ground with power plants and things like that, that if you solve part of it, you kind of solve a lot of it, or at least there's a mechanism for it. So air travel, it's small, but it's growing, and it's not the easiest thing to fix.
How do U.S. flights compare to other countries? Are we a bigger source of aviation emissions? You mentioned China there.
Yes, so the U.S. and China make up, I think, about a quarter, 20 to 25% of global aviation emissions. So, you know, are we responsible for more? We certainly are. But on sort of a per mile basis, it really comes down to which airlines are doing the efficiency of their fleets, the things that they can do internally. So the U.S. and China are definitely the two biggest emitters, followed by the European Union.
When we talk about the carbon footprint, like air travel, what does that actually mean? How is that calculated?
With airlines, it's not that difficult to figure out what the carbon footprint is. We know how many miles people fly, and we know how much jet fuel they use, and we know the carbon footprint of burning jet fuel. So just as an example, if you were to fly from, say, Milwaukee to Orlando, you would be emitting round trip about 1,400 pounds or so of carbon dioxide emissions. From New York to Los Angeles would be even more. International flights are even more than that. And there's a little bit of distinction, between airlines. Some have more efficient fleets than others. Some are doing more with biofuels than others. And then long-haul flights are sort of lower on a per mile basis than short haul, just from the efficiency you gained by sitting at 30,000 feet for that much longer.
So as you partner with airlines like JetBlue, like Delta, explain for us this offset of the carbon footprint. How do these offsets work?
Mm-hmm. So the customer, they buy from sort of beginning to end, the customer buys their ticket. They calculate how far they're going, and on a per mile or the segment basis, we know how much they're responsible. And let's just say it's 1,000 pounds of carbon dioxide emissions. And through their donation to an organization like CarbonFund.org, we then use that donation and we reduce 1,000 pounds of carbon emissions somewhere else. Obviously, we can't reduce it on that particular plane, but we can plant a number of trees. We can help build a windmill in Wisconsin or in Texas. We can preserve land in Brazil, and other, and you know, and other things like that. The idea here is to, if you produce 1,000 pounds of carbon emissions, where are you going to reduce 1,000 pounds of carbon emissions so that you are at least carbon neutral and you're neutral as far as global warming and the planet is concerned?
We're talking with Eric Carlson. He's president of CarbonFund.org Foundation. You can join in on the conversation around offsets, 800-642-1234. Are you traveling less by plane due to carbon emissions? Did you used to travel more in the past? How have you cut down? Have you ever bought a carbon offset? Why did you decide to do it? Would you recommend others try it? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Eric, what is the cost here? How much does a carbon offset cost?
So for, to do, it varies, as you might expect. If you're supporting solar energy, it's going to cost more than wind energy, and preserving forestry is more. But as a general rule, if you're, let's take that Milwaukee to Orlando flight again, you're probably looking at about $5 round trip. So it's a, you know, 1 or 2% of the overall cost of the flight is all it takes to make that flight effectively carbon neutral on the planet.
And I understand these offsets are tax deductible?
If you're donating to a nonprofit, there are nonprofit and for-profit companies that do this. But yes, to an organization like ours, they're tax deductible because you're making a donation to a nonprofit that is then providing a public good.
Well, when you buy a carbon offset, depending on where you buy it, it's not always clear where that money is going to end up. How do you know if a carbon offset program is legitimate, is doing what you are asking it to do?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so you should be able to have some choice. And there are a number of groups out there that do this. You should be able to have some choice as to where your money goes. Is it going to support renewable energy? Is it going to support energy efficiency or forestry? You may not get to select the exact project that you want to. And then the question that you're raising is essential. It's very good that, is it real and how do I know? And for that, there are a number of third-party standards developed by hundreds and hundreds of scientists, and there are protocols. So, for instance, one of the protocols is called the Verified Carbon Standard, and they have their systems where they go out and they test if it's the wind energy, how much was created. How many credits are we going to generate out of this? Who certified this? So there are third-party auditors that get involved in it. And then how many credits are going to be available from this project? And then each credit is going to have its own serial number. So that way you know that it is real because you have followed through from the beginning to the end of, you know, this was a project, this is how much it was supposed to reduce, this is how much it actually reduced, and these are the serial numbers that came off of it. And then you need to make sure that each serial number is only used once. For an organization like ours, we go through a number of audits. Of course, we have a financial audit each year, but we also have a project audit. So we know if somebody donated to, if a whole group of donors wanted to offset, say, 10,000 tons of wind energy collectively, then our auditor says, okay, show us the receipt, show us the chain that shows that you offset 10,000 tons of wind energy.
Pausing right there with Eric Carlson. He heads up CarbonFund.org Foundation. You can join in on this back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about carbon offsets and air travel. The airline industry predicts major growth over the next decades. And meanwhile, a United Nations group is closer to establishing a long-term goal for cutting greenhouse gas emissions from international aviation. There's a vote on resolutions this week. Do you think about carbon emissions when you fly? Have you changed how much you fly? Have you ever bought a carbon offset? Why did you decide to do that? And what would you tell others? Join in 800-642-1234. Eric Carlson is president of the CarbonFund.org Foundation, and he stays with us. Let's go to Mark, who is joining us from Menominee. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
See, my question would be, say for like a family of four, like, is there a number that you would have for like what their carbon footprint would be? And if you would, like, how many trees would I have to plant to offset that?
Mark, thanks for the call. What is the multiplier effect here, Eric?
Sure. So the average American is responsible for about 50,000 pounds of carbon emissions each year. So a family of four would be about 200,000 pounds. And that, using, again, our rough numbers, somebody would offset that for maybe $1,000 a year, so about $80 a month. How many trees? Trees aren't a great example because you plant seedlings and then you have to wait for them to grow. It would certainly be a couple hundred trees, but it would have just sort of a long growth period. There are other ways to do it by, say, preserving existing land, keeping existing trees from getting cut down as well.
Yeah, so if trees aren't really a great path here, what is a really great place that you're seeing putting these carbon offsets? What is working well?
Well, first of all, I do think planting trees are essential. It's just a little bit, it's just a longer growth period. But to answer your question, really, as long as you're reducing emissions, you should select the projects that you personally like. So some people really like wind energy. That's a great way, and it's very easy to calculate. It's very easy to wrap your head around. Energy efficiency is another one. We see truck stops across the country going electric so that truck drivers aren't idling their trucks all night. That's a great and measurable way to do so. And then preserving land. And our organization, for instance, we're preserving 750,000 acres, which is roughly the size of Rhode Island, in the Brazilian rainforest, and we're keeping those trees that were slated to be cut down from being cut down. So it's not planting, it's preserving. But those are a few of the ways you can do it.
So you can do things that are harming the environment, like taking that long-haul flight, and you're then trying to cancel out the harm somewhere else. But is that really how we can combat climate change in the end? Is it that simple?
Well, it's not that simple, but, you know, the idea here is that we're all responsible for carbon emissions. When you eat food, when you go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving, you're responsible for some level of pollution. And we can either not go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving or we can offset that somewhere. Of course, we can also, you know, buy lower on the food chain. We can travel a lot less. So there are things you can do internally. We say reduce what you can, and then you can offset the rest, offset what you can't. And between that, as long as you're getting your overall emissions to neutral, you are being neutral to the planet. In essence, the planet only cares about the net amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. So you can have a pretty first world life if you continue to make changes internally and you make the necessary offsets externally while you're doing so.
Talking with Eric Carlson, he heads up the CarbonFund.org Foundation. We're looking at carbon offsets with your questions and your stories as well at 800-642-1234. Eric, what are the airlines doing here in order to reduce emissions and fuel consumption? Are you seeing the legacy airlines make changes?
So they are making changes, some slower than others. One of the synergies that they have is that their biggest expense is fuel. It's higher than their labor costs. So they certainly have a financial incentive to reduce that thing that is also polluting the environment, burning jet fuel. But you see airlines switching to more efficient engines that have come out in the last decade or so. You see those winglets on planes. You see a lot of things happening around the edges, I would say, in the 5, 10, 12% reduction range. I assume that they're getting better with their flight patterns and things like that. But they're a good example that will be an industry that where it will be hard to get to zero emissions. It will be, which is why we need the ground-based emissions to maybe do more of the heavy lifting in terms of reducing emissions. That's where, you know, renewable energy plants and things like that come in.
Well, let's go to Mary Kay now in Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hello. I'd like to talk about energy efficiency. I live in an apartment complex. The lights are on 24 hours a day. It can be 50 degrees outside and people have their air conditioners on. None of the appliances are energy efficient. There's no dishwasher. So a lot of this contributes to pollution, too. We need to become more energy efficient, use a lot less.
So Mary Kay is saying this is not, you know, this extends well beyond air travel here, Eric.
She's exactly right. Now, ironically, living in an apartment where any heat that is lost, it goes to the left, right, and above you, is a pretty efficient way of living versus, say, being in a 2,500-foot square-foot home. But she is right. If there are lights on all the time, if there are old appliances, that's a huge waste. And sometimes, you know, if your utilities are included in your rent, you may not have an incentive to do anything about it. And that's something that should be addressed as well.
Well, we saw over the weekend a UN aviation agency voted to decide on a long-term greenhouse gas emissions goal by 2022. What are you watching for there out of the UN?
Yeah, we're really glad that that's happening. That's, I believe it's 191 countries coming together with their aviation plan. Aviation is perfect for the UN because we're talking about something that crosses international boundaries. It's good to see them all getting together and coming up with a solution that's going to affect U.S. airlines, European airlines, but also developing country airlines also. The exact numbers, I think, will fluctuate over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, and I'm sure it won't be a perfect process, but it's really important to have everybody at the table. And I will tell you, the airlines have been active. The ones that we work with, JetBlue, Alaska Airlines, they've been actively involved in this. They do see their role in this and want to be productive in terms of solving it. That's what we've seen from our examples.
Are you concerned about these studies coming out saying that air travel is growing a lot and we're going to have to do a lot more of carbon offset here if we want to keep up with what's going on in air travel?
Yeah, what we see is, you know, carbon offsetting is an essential part of getting your carbon emissions to zero today, while you're also making the changes that will hopefully reduce your overall carbon footprint and thus reduce the need for offsets in the future. So what we'd like to see, and we're seeing, again, each airline is taking their own path, is the emissions are coming down slowly. Biofuels are just really being experimented with now, but that could be a big part of the solution going forward. But that offset allows you to get to zero carbon emissions today, and you can reduce your impact on the, just with regard to climate change, you can reduce that effectively to zero today, but the airlines need to then fill in the back of that with the technological solutions.
Well, as we wrap up here, besides a carbon offset, what is the workaround here to try to reduce your carbon emissions?
So, you know, like I said, our motto is reduce what you can, offset what you can't. And I think there are a lot of things that beyond air travel, people can certainly travel less. But, you know, within your home, you have two main emission sources. One is your electricity and the other is whatever you use to heat. With electricity, there are a lot of, you know, 100% renewable options. And in fact, Wisconsin is a real leader in the development of wind energy in the country. So that's something that people can do today to get themselves to mostly carbon neutral. Electric cars are coming down in price and they're gaining in efficiency. But, you know, your big three that you can really address are your home, your car, and your air travel. And there are solutions for each of those.
Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Eric Carlson is co-founder of the CarbonFund.org Foundation. Coming up, we have a line to Attorney General Josh Call. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.